Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text 9. Tava tava taro yama doksha jeha. Tava vataro yam adoksha jeha. Uvo baranam uru barajanmanam. Uvo baranam uru barajanmanam. Chamupatinam abhavayadeva. Chamupatinam abhavayadeva. Bhavaya yushmach charanu vartinam. Bhavaya yushmach charanu vartinam. Tavavataro yam adoksha jeha. Uvo baranam uru barajanmanam. Chamupatinam abhavayadheva. Bhavaya yusmak charanu vartinam. Tavavataru yam adoksha jeha. Uvu baranam uru barajanmanam. Chamupatinam abhavaya deva. Bhavaya yusmak charanu vartinam. Avataro yam adoksha jeha. Bhuvo varanam uru vara janmanam. Chamuparinam abhavaya deva. Avaya yasmat saranu vartinam. Bhavataroyam adoksha jeha. Bhuvo varanam uru vara janmanam. Chamuparinam abhavaya deva. Avaya yasmat saranu vartinam. Avataroyam adoksha jeha. Bhuvo baranam uru vara janmanam. Chamupatinam abhavaya deva. Avaya yasmat saranu vartinam. Arati. Avataro yam adoksha jeha. Uvo baranam uru vara janmanam. Chamupatinam abhavaya deva. say word for word. Tava, earth. Avatara, descent. I am this. Adokshaja, O transcendental Lord. Iha, into this world. Bhuva, of the earth. Bharanam, who constitute a great burden. Urubara, to many disturbances. Janmanam, who have given rise. Chamupatinam, of military leaders. Abhavaya, for the destruction. Deva, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavaya, for the auspicious benefit. Yushmat, your Charana, lotus feet. Anuvartinam, of those who serve. Translation. You descend into this world, O transcendent Lord, to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Purport. This verse utilizes an attractive poetic device. Lord Krishna's descent into the world is said to be for the abhava, literally non-existence or destruction of the demoniac warlords, and simultaneously for the bhava, or the existence, prosperity of those who faithfully serve the lotus feet, the Lord's lotus feet. True existence, indicated here by the word bhava, is Satchidananda, eternally and full of bliss and knowledge. To an uninformed observer, it may appear that Sri Krishna is simply rewarding his followers and punishing his enemies the way any ordinary person might do. This specific doubt about the Lord is raised extensively in the sixth canto in connection with Krishna's taking the side of the faithful demigods against the faithless demons in a particular cosmic war. In that canto, the Vaishnava authorities clearly explain that in fact Lord Krishna is the Father and Lord of all living beings, and that all his activities are therefore meant for the benefit of all existence. Lord Krishna does not really cause the non-existence of anyone. Rather, he curbs the foolish, destructive, material ways of those who defy the laws of God. These laws are created to ensure the prosperity, harmony and happiness of the entire creation, and their violation is an injustifiable disturbance. Certainly, Indra hoped that Lord Krishna would count him among devotees and not the demons. Although considering Indra's actions, one might doubt where his loyalties actually lay. Indra was aware of this possible doubt, and thus, as we find in the next verse, he tried his best to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Om Gyana Chirmana Syagyan Anjana Shalakaya Sakshmuntam Yenatasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutle Srimati Bhaktivinoda Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Pacharani Nivshisha Shunya Radhi Pashtatari Shatani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dita Garada Shri Gassi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first paragraph is explaining that the Lord is describing a somewhat poetic device, an attractive poetic device is used to describe bhava and bhava. The Lord should always be described in the best of words, in the best of songs, in the best way possible, with all humility. And that's why in the spiritual world, all talk is considered to be a song. So he's described, he's glorified in a song-like way. And this is very good. So for us, we have to somewhat adopt this this mentality. Govindam Hari Purushan Tamaham Bhajan. See, nicely glorifying the Lord. Because we're trying to qualify ourselves to go back to it. And so the next point is that he descend to vanquish the warlords and to protect his devotee. Songs like the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Parichanaya sarunam vinashaya shad tishkutam. Dharmasam sthapanartha sambhavami yuge yuge. See, in order to annihilate the miscreants and protect the devotees and establish Dharma, he had bent himself. And who are the warlords? We find that they were Kamsa, Shishupal, Jarasandha, Jayadrath, Vinda, Anuvinda, Duryodhan, his 99 brothers. These were not ordinary kings. They were super powerful kings. But not only super powerful, they were demonic also. It is for this reason also that Mother Earth, she took the form of a cow and went to the demigods, unto Lord Brahma, to ask for help. And then they went to the milk ocean and prayed to the Lord. We know the whole thing. So this is one of the most fundamental reason why the Lord came, right, to vanquish these warlords. See? It is not the foremost of reason. We know that the foremost reason is to create pastimes. But this is also an essential reason. To vanquish the warlord, reestablish Dharma, protect his devotees. And so these demonic kings were super powerful and they were create havoc in society. Regular human beings could not face them. See? Regular human beings were no match for them really. And these guys they were taking so much advantage. There is one part in the Mahabharata state. When the Daitas repeatedly met with defeat at the hands of the demigods and thus were deprived of their residence in heaven, they began to take birth within the world. Many of the Daitas were born as sons of great Kshatriyas. And because of their superior prowess, they became very puffed up and arrogant. Indeed, these demonic kings not only oppressed their citizens, but due to being intoxicated with pride, they did not hesitate to offend even the great rishis. You see? So that was these. And these guys were, Shishupal was originally Hiranyakashipu. Jarasandha was Viprachiti. Kamsa was Kalnemi. He's a big demon in the Ramayana. Duryodhan was a portion of Kali personified. The Dhritarashtra's sons, the 99 brothers of Duryodhan, were Rakshasas, sons of Palasya. Shakuni was a portion of Dwapayug. I think that was a good one. Bhagadat was Vashkala, he was an Asura also. Ashwatthama was Kama, Krodha, Yama, and Shiva, combined, a portion of Lord Shiva. So all these demons, and then there were so many others, Jayadrat and Pindan, if you read Mahabharata, you would actually know some of these demons. And they were super powerful. There was no chance for the regular men on earth. If Lord Krishna had left these demons on earth, it would have been a great burden. Not only the demons, but even the daityas also. And who are the daityas? Vidura came, he was Yamaraj. Pandu was Kirti personified. Drishtadyuma was a portion of Agni. The sons of Drupadi were the Vishvadevas. The Vishvadevas are the directions. Pradyumna was Sanat Kumar. Rukmini was Lakshmi herself. Drupadi was a portion of Sachi. That is the wife of Indra. Abhimanyu was Varchas, the son of Soma. And Jupara, Satyaki, and Kutavarma were the Maruts. Salya was Samlada, that was Prahlad's brother. Drishtaketu was Anulad, another brother. And Dronacharya was Brihaspati, a portion of Brihaspati. See? So they came to help the Lord to vanquish these demonic forces. See, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated here, Lord Krishna said, Brahma, chief of the demigods, I have executed all that you desire, but I must still remove the burden of the Yadu dynasty. Having become exceedingly strong and courageous, the overly proud Yadus would eventually devour the entire world if they were not checked. Due to the Brahmana's course, their annihilation has already set in motion. See? And we know that when the sons of Krishna, I think it was Samban and the others, they dressed Samba as a woman and went to the sages and says, what child would this boy get? And the sages knew, they could foresee, and they cursed him. They cursed him. You rascals, you would get a mace that would destroy the whole dynasty. But of course, all these are the arrangement of the Lord in some way to get, you know, because even the Yadu dynasty had become very powerful. So these kings, they were super powerful, and they were creating a havoc in society. See, even Mother Heart could not bear the burden of such an atrocity. And so the Lord came and eventually vanquished all of them. So that is why Indra is glorifying him. But two of those kings we should note, especially Shishupal and Dantavakra. These were special. They were special in the sense they were the last of the six demons that took birth as Giant Vijaya. See. And we see that when Shishupal was vanquished, he merged into the body of the Lord. And the same with Dantavakra also. But I like to go back, because the Lord descent also to vanquish these other demons. And those six demons were Hiranya, Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyakashipu. And Ravana and Kumkarana, and Shishupal and Dantavakra. And they represent six demons within us also in this Kali. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Maja, and Matsara. See, the six demons in Kali. They stated that the demons reside in the... The demons reside in the other planets, in Satyug. The other yog, they reside in the other continents, and then the other countries. And now, they reside within us. So the lobha is greed, moha is arrogant, kama is lust, mada is illusion, matsara is envy, and krodha is anger. But they, you know, they did not came as karma krodha, they came in different order. The fourth son was Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyaksha was the epitome of greed. He stated that he was so greedy that he plundered all the gold of the world, all the gold, and it stated that it created an imbalance on the planet, on the rotation of the planet, and the planet actually fell in the Garbhodakashayi ocean. Well, Lord Varaha would pick it up, and then he would vanquish Hiranyaksha. See? And so that greed was vanquished here. Then the next demon was Hiranyakashipu. And he was illusion personified. Arrogant. It stated that he was so arrogant that he deemed himself as the supreme, as the Lord. And we know the story with Prahlad Maharaj and everything, that that he wanted Prahlad to worship him as the supreme Lord. See? And then Prahlad would tell him that, you know, I got my power from where you getting your power from, and that is from the Supreme. We all got our power from the Supreme. See? And so the Lord, as Nrisimha did, would vanquish this demon of arrogance. And so this demon is residing within us also. And so by praying to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, we can able to overcome this demon of arrogance. And then the third demon was Ravana. And he was the king of lust. Ravana was so lustful that he was not satisfied with all the women he had. He had so many women, but he was still not satisfied. He wanted the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi. See? And he was cautioned by his wife, by his brother. What was his brother's name? Vibhishan. He was cautioned by his son, Indrajit. And he was cautioned by even his demonic brother, Kumbhakarna. See? He was cautioned by all of these, but yet he would still not think. And then Lord Ramachandra would vanquish him. Then the other demon was Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna, he is Mada, represents Mada, or illusion. He was in so much illusion state that all he wanted to do is eat and sleep. Kumbhakarna would eat and then he would sleep for 6 months. 6 months. And then he would wake up and eat again. And even the people that were feeding him, he would eat them out also. See? He was in such an illusion, so much in the bodily concept of life. And so, even for us, we have to be very, very careful. Srila Prabhupada set up this program. Rise early. See? Only if we're sick, or we, you know, you're pregnant, or nursing kids, or... he made certain stipulations, but otherwise, we should all try to rise early and attend the morning program. And especially for those that live within the temple compound. See? Or in the temple itself. Even for them, you know. But still, it does not excuse us also that's living outside. See? So we should try to remember this story of Kumbhakarna. And try not want to be called this, you know, but try to rise early and try to attend the program. And then he was vanquished by Lord Ramachandra. And then the next demon was Shishupala. And that is within this story here. And Shishupal was the apex of envy. He was the topmost envious personality. It stated that Shishupal was so envious that he could never say anything good about Krishna. When he was born with four arms. And it's predicted that when a certain person touches him, two of his arms would disappear, and that person would kill him. So one day Krishna went to their house, and he touched Shishupal, and immediately two of the arms disappeared. So Shishupal's mother was worried. She said, Krishna, you are his cousin. Would you kill my son? Krishna said, no matter. But he's a mischievous guy. But I would give him a benediction. I would allow him to criticize me 100 times. 100 times. And then, after that, I would thank Krishna, if he wouldn't stop. So Shishupal would criticize Krishna 100 times, and then he would stop, take a break, see, and then he would go back another 100 times. Krishna is a rascal, Krishna is this, Krishna, you know, like that. And then, so like that, he would, in his whole life, he would criticize, never find a good thing. So during the Rajasuya sacrifice, they were selecting the greatest personality, and so they were trying to choose, you know, have Bhishma, Indra, this person, that person. And so they decided to choose Krishna. And when they chose Krishna, Shishupal was totally out of his mind. He was mad. And so he started to criticize Krishna, this, that, the next. But this time, because the envy was so much in him that he could not remember the 100 times. You see, usually before he would remember the 100 times and stop a little and then pause and then think. But this time he would not. You know, the envy was so much that he go, and Krishna was there silently counting 97, 98, 99, and whoops. As soon as he went to 100, he used his Sudarshan chakra and cut half his head. And so his envy, that was the end of the envy. And so this envy is present within us. And we have to pray to the Lord and engage in His service to be able to get it out. It's not so easy. This envy impedes us in so many ways. So many ways. And so we have to pray very hard to get rid of it. And then the last demon was Dantavakra, Krodha, anger. It stated that Dantavakra, when he saw Krishna and he knew Krishna killed his friend Shishupal, he stated that he was so angry that he started to run. He left his chariot and everything in the battlefield and just started running to get Krishna, just with his club, right? You know, he was so angry and he was shouting so much. See? So this anger is a detrimental thing for spiritual upliftment. And so he ran and he hit Krishna immediately at the head. And when he hit Krishna, Krishna did not budge. It was like nothing. And then Krishna took his club and smashed him in the heart. See? And split it in two and killed him. So this anger is very, very powerful. And Bhishma, when he was speaking to Yudhisthira, it stated the suppression of anger should be the foremost, how he stated, the foremost duty of all varnas and all ashrams. See, we should make a conscientious effort to suppress it, because otherwise it could take away everything from us. See? So these six demons, in this age, they are residing within us. And by engaging devotional service and praying to the Lord, we can able to vanquish them, because unless we vanquish them, we cannot enter back the spiritual world. And so we find that when Shishupala and Dantavakara, see, when they were killed, then they were ready to go back to the spiritual world of Jaya and Vijaya again. See? So that point here. The other point that the commentators made here was that that the Lord is taking side with his devotees, and he is vanquishing the demons. And so it seems like as if that's like an ordinary thing. You know, you're supposed to be the Lord and you're supposed to be the equal, but you're taking sides. You know, you're not assisting the demons. See? But there's a nice verse within the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord says, Samo Damas Tapas Tauchan. He said it. Samuham Sarva Bhuteshu. Sorry. See? I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service to me in devotion is a friend. Is in me, and I'm also a friend in him. See? So the Lord, he is not partial. He said, I envy no one. He does not envy the demons. You know, nor the demigods, nor anyone. He's impartial to everyone. But those who are his devotees are special to him. You see? Are special to him. They're exceptional. See? And he's bound. And this topic came up in three times. I think it was with Duryodhana and Ambarisha, Duryodhana and the Pandavas, and when the fight with the demons and the demigods took place, this issue came up, well, is it the Lord is taking sides? But the Lord is impartial, and because these demons are so heinous and so destructive, you see, one's supposed to follow the rule, the laws of Manu. One has to follow the laws of mankind. See? And Manu set forth those laws. See? And so the demons also have to follow those laws. To have a smooth and nice society. But they become overly proud and puffed up and take advantage. So the Lord would do what it takes to get them in place again. It may be to exterminate them, or to vanquish them or defeat them, some way or form. And then, in this way, he would bring stability back. He would bring stability back. And so, he's not really taking sides. He's impartial, as that verse is saying. But devotional service is special. It's a product, it's not a product of this world, it's a product of the spiritual world. And for those that are engaged in devotional service, they are super special to the Lord. See? They are special. The Lord says, they have my heart. They have my heart. They have stolen my heart. When Durvasa asked the Lord to stop this Sudarshan from chasing him, the Lord said, you have to talk to Ambarish Maharaj. See, because he has stolen my heart. Yeah. My devotees, they don't ask anything of me. They serve me unconditional. And I'm bound to them. My heart has gone to them. I don't have a heart of myself. It's gone to my devotees. So the devotees are extra special to me. So that is why the Lord is may seem to take sides, but it's not really taking sides, you know. He is equal to all. And the last point was Indra was wondering. He was wondering whether he would be counted as a devotee of the Lord or not because of what happened. But he, of course, he is a devotee. In these pastimes, he did all this destruction because, or he was trying to do this destruction because he was not certain that Krishna was the Lord. See? And then, of course, the sacrifice has been hidden away. But he is a devotee. He's head of the demigods. And we know because of the opulence and being circled by all these nice things, he gets carried away sometimes. In one sense, you can say he's even a little henpecked, because when Krishna went for the Parijata flower, and his wife says, well, how are you taking this flower? He immediately wants to fight Krishna again. See? So these things happen. But he is a devotee of the Lord. The demigods are, and so Krishna can count on them. So I'd like to stop here if there's any comment or correction or question. I know sometimes I'm so unclear that no one has a question. Pana Govinda Prabhu?
Even though these prayers are very nice, but these prayers are not really submitting himself with full surrender in pure heart, humility did not develop. If humility did develop, Vishwanath Chakravarti would give a opposition that why did he oppose again in the heaven when Krishna went for Parijat flower? Because once the heart is purified and the hypocrisy and deceitful nature, what is the root cause of all on earth, will be removed, then the soul will never oppose to Krishna's service. But due to extremely fear, he is praying all this. It appears like very nice. It is surrendering, but it is not completely pure.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.